Om Jnana Smirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
The Translation. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Purport. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria, and because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely, in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions, like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Yoshit Sanghi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. That's in brackets. Material entanglement is defined as women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavata Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable, it is worshipable, it is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life. Tulayama lavena api naswardam napuna bhavam Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam kim utashishaha. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. In the previous verse we found the sages of Naimisharanya discussing the uselessness of the sacrifice they were attempting to perform. The perceived benefit, or otherwise, that they had attained from that was getting their faces black with smoke. Now they're speaking of that which can give actual benefit. The value of a moment's association with a pure devotee is more valuable than anything material, even if one is to have the position of a great king or Brahma, position which continues for trillions of years, from the material perspective, unlimited opulence, unlimited power, unlimited insight, unlimited respect from others. But it's all limited by time. Even apana bhavam, getting free from repeated birth and death, that if it is not conducted or if it is not achieved as a byproduct of pure devotional service, if it is considered a goal in itself, just because of that mistake, then it also becomes limited by time. Although the panditamani or the vimuktamani, those who consider themselves liberated, they think they're liberated, but they're still within the clutches of time because they fail to worship the lotus feet of Pundarikaksha, Krishna. So they must come back again to this material world. So this may appear to be an overstatement, that a moment's association with a pure devotee is worth more than millions of years of overlordship within this material world, or even liberation from this material world. But actually that's the fact, because the pure devotees, they bring that which is substantial. They are themselves full of substance. They are connected with the Vastava Satya, the actual substance, that is Krishna and devotion to Krishna. So even a moment's association, what can you get from a moment, but whatever that is, that's of substance, and that's one drop of substance is worth millions of any amount or quantity or exposure to that which has no actual substance. And by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can actually achieve that which is unlimited, that which is not limited by time and space. Whereas, even though the benedictions available within the material world that are the false benedictions of worldly overlordship or so-called liberation, although it may appear to go on for a very long time, whereas a moment's association with a pure devotee is a very short time, so it may seem more valuable. But it's all limited by time. It's all momentary. Even the lifetime of Brahma, it's all momentary. Even liberation, so-called liberation from material existence, because it's limited by time, within the vista of eternal time, it's all temporary. Whereas a moment's association with a pure devotee, that opens, that gives the doorway into eternal life. So the curious sages, Shonakadi Rishi, they are described as jignyasu. They're examples of persons who are curious to understand. They're interested to understand what is the actual fact. They are pious, jignyasu. They are exposed to the Vedic literature, and now they're considering what is the actual essence. Prior to this, they had been under the tutelage of Romaharshan Sutta, who appeared to be, well, he was actually very knowledgeable in Shastra. That's why they gave him the Brahma Sangha, the seat of Brahman, even though he wasn't born in a Brahmana family. They gave him the most elevated seat because he was highly learned in Shastra. However, he was devoid of the knowledge of, or he was divorced from the substance of Shastra. What's the actual message of Shastra? He learned everything, but got it all wrong. It's like someone, they learn how to play, or somebody beats on a mridanga very expertly, but then they come in the kirtan and play out of time. So they know it very well, but it doesn't fit, and it simply makes a disturbance for those who can actually hear properly. But they can't, because they're devoid of a proper sense of musical time, they can't understand. They're playing so in such a fancy manner, but it's all simply a disturbance. But they don't know, they can't understand. So like this, there may be many persons who are learned in Shastra, but because they're not connected with the essence, they're engaged in honey bottle licking. And although that they think that licking the honey bottle from the outside, they think, I attained it, now I got the essence. But they are, although they may be able to quote so many things, they're still they're still in the wrong dimension. They didn't cross over. They didn't make the journey that the Vedic knowledge is supposed to take us on. Their journey becomes very limited, up to the heavenly planets and back again, or maybe take an excursion out into the impersonal Brahman and then come back again. So they're not really going anywhere. They think that we're becoming elevated, but it's elevation from a stinking toilet to a less stinking toilet. There's a toilet with phenyl or something. It stinks in a different way. That's all. So they're not actually attaining the substance. They're not coming to the actual point. So it appears that Roma Harshan Sutta, he had engaged the sages in performing some kind of karma kandya sacrifice, which, even though he wasn't brahminical by birth, he had been accorded that status by Vyasadeva, who understands the purpose of the Shastra. But he himself seems to have failed to understand the purpose, as was detected by Balaram, who, when he came to Naimisharanya, he executed Roma Harshan Sutta, even though he was sitting on the Vyasasa, for the apparently minor offense of failing to recognize Lord Balaram. But this is, of course, the whole offense of the whole material world. And for one in a position of authority, for a teacher to, in the name of teaching, teach the wrong thing, this compounds the offense. So Balaram in this way arranged for the son of Roma Harshan Sutta, who is known as Sutta Goswami, to come in and, being similarly knowledgeable like his father, speak. But Sutta Goswami, he was in touch with the essence. He had heard from Shukadev Goswami, not that hearing from Vyasadeva is insufficient in itself if one has the ears to hear, but what Vyasadeva has given is mostly misused in this world. The Shastra is mostly taken and misused by various persons who don't understand it. But Sutta Goswami, having heard the same Bhagavatam, Shukamukhad Amrita Drava Sangitam, which had become very tasty and digestible, having been heard from the lips of Srila Shukadev Goswami, was fully qualified to again speak Bhagavatam, because he had, by the association of Shukadev Goswami, become that kind of person who is herein described by the Shonakadi, by Shonak. The sages or the rishis, they've been performing a smoky sacrifice. And they found that rather than jnanagdidagda karmanam, rather than the fire of knowledge burning up their attachment to fruitive activities within this world, rather they were overcome by the smoke. Dumena vriyate vagnir. They were the fire of knowledge was covered by the smoke of ignorance. They felt themselves dissatisfied. We're performing this sacrifice. What are we actually getting from it? They were doubtful about there being any actual positive result. They were in a position, they were ready to be elevated. They were not satisfied with simply following the Vedas in a ritualistic manner or in a conventional manner. But they were interested to learn of the essence, and they recognized that Suta Goswami is a proper person to convey this essence, and they glorified him. Thus, it is not empty praise. It is an actual fact, which is, actual fact means it's apparent in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Because if any conditioned soul in any place or any time or any circumstance can associate with a pure devotee, even for a moment, that can be the moment whereby they receive the bhakti lata bij, or the seed of the serving propensity to the Supreme Lord, which in the disquisitions of the Vedic scholars, even though they may be very learned, because it lacks this bhakti lata bij, the element of selfless service to the Supreme Lord, therefore, even by preaching Vedic knowledge, the already present seeds of the weeds, Anya Abhilash Bij, Karma Bij, Jnana Bij, all the wrong seeds are being watered, and in the name of following the Vedas, they may go to hell, maybe indirectly, via heaven. They may go to heaven first. But for those who have received the Bhakti Lata Bij, then Kaivalyam Narakayate, even merging into the existence, or supposed merging into the existence of the Lord, that is like hell. So what to speak of going to the heavenly planets, which is scorned by those who aspire for liberation from material existence. The heavenly planets, which are considered so enjoyable, is recognized as no better than hell by those who aspire for liberation. But those who have attained even the slight glance of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they consider even this so-called merging as hellish. So what to speak of going to the heavenly planets? So the pure devotees, the association with pure devotees, that is the key to all actual success. As pure devotees, they are the representatives of Krishna in this world. They carry Krishna. By their avismriti Krishna padaravinda yoho, by their non-forgetfulness of Krishna at every moment, they are always situated in a pact of intense love of Krishna, which is powerful. So wherever they go, they speak about Krishna, they radiate Krishna consciousness. And persons who are fortunate on coming in association with pure devotees can appreciate that and pray to them, Krishna Shri Tomar, Krishna Dite Paro, Tomara Shakati Achi, appreciating that the pure devotees, they have Krishna and they can give Krishna. They're fully empowered by Krishna to do so, because Krishna comes under the control of the pure devotees by their love for Him. It is not simply a matter of knowledge that it is something to be taught. Someone would be taught how to love Krishna. There's no teaching how to love Krishna. Although the pure devotees, they teach the process that can help us to advance or uncover our dormant love for Krishna. The rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, they are all meant for bringing the devotees or the aspiring devotees into association with the pure devotees to hear and chant, to hear from them, to chant under their direction, to serve them, and under their direction to begin the service to the Supreme Lord, which is the perfection of life, to serve the Supreme Lord. But that can only be, service to Krishna can only be if one actually has a service attitude. So that is imparted by the pure devotees. Even the karmis, they may impart some kind of service to the Supreme Lord by recommending perform sacrifices, in which Yageshwar, Yagya Bhuk, Yagyapati is Vishnu. But even though there is some semblance of worship of the Supreme Lord, which is why the Karmakanda is given at all. Why should the Supreme Lord give such a process in the Vedic process? Because it gives at least some semblance of a beginning, some kind of association, some kind of recognition of the supremacy of Vishnu. But it's basically conducted with a different motive in mind, not the serving propensity, but not how we shall serve Vishnu, but they consider how I will invoke His service to me by squeezing out some benedictions from Him. And then when we decide that we don't want these benedictions anymore, then we can still go on with some imagined worship to Vishnu, as considering Him as an imaginary demigod who we shall worship and then replace and merge into His existence. So this kind of service is not really any service at all, but it is a semblance which, if one comes in contact with pure devotees, then the pure devotees, they can, if we come in contact means not simply you see, but come in contact means to pray like this. Krishna Shetoma, Krishna Dite Paro, Tamara Shakati Achi. Amito Kangal, Krishna Krishna Boli, Dhaitava Pache Pache. To come in contact with them in the submissive mood. Kiyami Kene Amai Jare Tapatroi. And asking that, why am I suffering in this material world? Who am I? What is my duty? If one comes, actual coming in contact with pure devotees means to, with some submission and humility, which forms the basis of the serving mood. So if one comes in contact with devotees, then they can impart this service mood, which is the essence, this selfless service mood, which is the essence of their whole being and the essence of every person's being. But it is forgotten in material existence. Therefore we aspire for worldly gains or otherworldly gains. But we don't think that we are our treasure. Our treasure is already there, but we forgot it. And forgetting our treasure of love of Krishna, we are searching for something else which cannot satisfy us in any time, place or circumstance, anything but Krishna consciousness. So the pure devotees, they give this knowledge, they help the diseased, conditioned souls to wake up from their amnesia, or help them to recover from the diseased mentality of wanting to enjoy this material world or renounce it. Even to want to renounce this material world is also a diseased condition. To think that I'm going to renounce the world means to think that actually I'd like to enjoy it, but I'm not successful, so I'll enjoy better by renouncing it. I'll be more happy if I stop trying to enjoy it and just don't do anything. Then at least I'll be comfortable. So that's also a personal desire. But the pure devotees, they teach how to see the world as the property of Vishnu, everything to be engaged in His service. This is the value of association with pure devotees, and it is for this purpose, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, that he has formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He wrote many different, in different places, Prabhupada stated that he gave many different reasons why he had formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In one purport, he stated that by association with pure devotees, materialistic people can also become pure devotees. So Prabhupada said, it's for this purpose that we've started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that its members can become pure devotees and make others into pure devotees also. So then Prabhupada, in the same purpose, says, we therefore request all the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to become pure devotees so that they can benefit the entire world. So, a moment's association, and we may say, well, what then if one gets a lifetime of association? One may get a lifetime of association with the pure devotees of the Lord. That would be even more valuable. But actually, association with pure devotee, it is not on the mundane platform. It's not limited by time. So even a moment, if one actually associates with a pure devotee, then he's with the pure devotee in the spiritual world. That's actual association. Brahmavid brahmaiva bhavati. When one actually knows what is the absolute truth, then he enters into that situation. On the other hand, one may apparently have extended association with a pure devotee, but never associate with them at all, actually. Just like we see, there are many cases. Our own Srila Prabhupada's supposed family members had so much association with him, but they never knew him. There's some controversy over Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, why did he not teach the same way? Why did he not follow Bhaktivinoda? Why did he do his own thing, start his own thing? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so soft and sweet and accommodating, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so hard and Bhaktivinoda and rigorous, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was following the so-called traditional line of Vaishnavism, whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he deviated from that. Such accusations are floating around from persons who have fully failed to have even a moment's association with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, even though they may consider that they know so much, they've read so much. Even there were persons who had so much association with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, apparently, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he rejected the notion of certain persons having associated with him at all. There was one famous landlord, Jomidar, who was made the, with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's approval, he was made the first secretary of the Sri Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha, which one of the main purposes was to propagate that Sri Mayapur is the actual appearance place, or the eternal appearance place of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas the representatives of Romaharshan Sutta, who wanted to convert Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into an icon for their income and for an icon to uphold their monetary gain and their prestigious position according to worldly concept, considering themselves as Nityananda Vamsa, Advaita Vamsa, and so on, considering some bodily relationship, mundane bodily relationship, converting the Supreme Lord into a patriarch or the head of their dynasty, which is set up to exploit people's religious sentiments. So Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha was set up to establish the truth. It may not seem such an important thing, well, where is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But the purpose of establishing the truth, what is actual fact, and retrieving the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Romaharshan Sutras, who had fully taken it over, hijacked it. Fully means according to worldly vision. They were cheating people. So Nafa Chandra Pal, he was made the first secretary of the Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha. After the passing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was present once when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was railing against the unauthorized propagation of so-called Leela Kirtan, in which professional singers, or maybe even not professional, but mostly professional, sing in a very sweet voice and with much expert musical accompaniment about the intimate pastimes of the Lord, such as those described in Sri Gita Govinda. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking against this when Nafa Chandra Pal, he objected that you're supposed to be a follower of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the Jogapit itself, he organized a performance of the very type that you are protesting against. So how can you say that there's anything wrong with it? If Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's your guru, you claim to accept guidance from him, and he organized such shows, then why are you against it? And in reply, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he didn't. You're wrong. He never organized any such. He said, and Nafa Chandra Pal said, well, I was present when he was there. He was sitting there and listening. You were also there. So how can you say? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you're saying that you saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but you never saw him in your life. You can't see him through eyes, through eyes made of flesh and blood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cannot be seen, he cannot be heard, he cannot be appreciated through worldly vision or through a worldly concept of life. So this is very significant. There is also a famous article in The Harmonist penned by Professor Sanyo, who was the English language mouthpiece of Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, the voice or the message of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who stated that many persons who think they know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they may have even committed to memory all of his writings, cannot actually understand him because they fail to adopt the method of attempting to understand him through the agency of the pure devotee. Now, it may be said that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, well, he's a pure devotee. Can you not understand him directly? Well, maybe and maybe not. That he is misunderstood is quite apparent at the present time by persons who state that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then by association our own Srila Prabhupada, are not properly following Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is rather absurd if we consider that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the very reason he wanted to preach Krishna consciousness, he preached Krishna consciousness and he wanted that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world, and actually and he predicted that it would do so in a short time, and now it has actually happened, to suggest that those who have been instrumental in making it happen have no connection with Bhaktivinoda Thakur is absurd. What more can be said? However, it may appear, if one sees the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur through worldly conception, then he may see that there is some difference between Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktivedanta. Although they cannot, the very terms, they are inseparable. Bhaktivedanta means Bhaktisiddhanta. And without Bhaktisiddhanta, there is no possibility of Bhaktivinoda. However, persons who attempt to ignore Bhaktisiddhanta think that they can enjoy Bhaktivinoda, and that is their mistake. Vinod means a pleasure. The Bhaktivinoda, he who gives pleasure to Bhakti Devi, not one who is trying to enjoy Bhakti Devi. That is the mistake that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out again and again and again, that the whole process of bhakti has been misunderstood by materialists, who the perverted mentality of a materialist is whatever he takes, he looks at it and sees, can I enjoy it? If so, I'll accept it. If not, I'll reject it. So materialistic persons, when confronted with bhakti, if they're not prepared to submit themselves to Bhaktisiddhanta, if they're not prepared to be guided and ruled by the actual purport of Vedanta, which is bhakti, and that bhakti means rupa noga bhakti. Actual bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavitam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama. Not accepting or understanding this point, persons, they think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us something very pleasurable, we can enjoy. The whole bhakti cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been spoiled up to this time by persons bringing their enjoying mentality. Yes, we shall enjoy. We like to hear Leela Kirtan, very nice. But as far as following the rules and regulations of devotional service, we don't like. So he won't follow the rules because that impinges upon our sense gratification. And without following the rules, we'll just automatically enjoy the highest levels. We shall hear Lila Kirtan and we shall enjoy very much, considering how I am a gopi and I am enjoying with Krishna, and I shall enact such pastimes with my wife also, or maybe with someone else's wife. That's even more enjoyable. So in this way, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had become, to a large extent, or at least from external vision, taken over by the persons who were actually, instead of being devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, names of being his devotees, they're actually envious of his teachings and of his very self. So to rescue them, to rescue them and to rescue the teachings of pure devotional service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached in a certain way. This is all described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But one should know by applying Bhaktisiddhanta which of his teachings are, or how his teachings are to be understood in terms of the eternal service propensity, and how certain of his activities may have been performed as instrumental according to the time, places and circumstances prevalent at that time, to bring persons to the point of hearing his message. So this is a very great topic. We should understand how association with pure devotees is more valuable than anything else. Everything else, on the contrary, is completely useless. There's nothing of any value whatsoever in anything but pure devotional service, which only the pure devotees can give. Therefore, even a moment's association with pure devotees is more valuable than, just like one particle of gold is certainly more valuable and desirable than any amount of garbage. Someone says, I'm going to give you some garbage. Oh, thank you very much. Well, but don't worry, I'm going to give you lots of garbage, tons of garbage, piles of garbage. But it's all garbage, so what's the value? You may say this is very prestigious garbage. It was film star's stool. So it's very valuable. But it's stool and it's stool and it's stool, and even a month's stool or the stool of all the film stars in India, it's still not desirable. Whereas even one, any intelligent person would accept even one grain of gold rather than tons of garbage. So this is to be understood that those who are crows, of course, they will become very happy. Oh, you're giving us garbage. Thank you very much. Lots of it, that's very good. Then we can enjoy with all our family and friends, and we can enjoy lots of garbage. But those who are swans, they will appreciate the moment, a value of a moment of association with pure devotees. One has to be at least inclined to be a swan to appreciate that. Otherwise, even if one gets the association of a pure devotee, one will ask him, where's the garbage? Why don't you give us more garbage? And even if he gives the actual thing, they may convert that into garbage by their own garbage-like mentality. So one requires to be purified by actually associating with pure devotees. Guru Mukha Paddavaka Chitete Kore Oika Arna Kore Homane Asha. By the attitude of only wanting to be purified, that I have no other desire for any garbage, only desire to be purified by the words spoken from the pure devotees. But then one has to be prepared to be guided and have to have the pure intention by which one can accept the words of the pure devotees, understand them as they're meant to be understood. Otherwise, there are so many examples in Shastra. Virocha and Indra are hearing the same thing and getting a completely different result. So one also has to be a fit candidate to actually hear. Then we can benefit from association with pure devotees. Anyway, it's a very great subject and time is up. So I'll finish there. Is there any question or comment, please? How does one become qualified to get that association? Amito kangal Krishna Krishna boli dhai thava pate pate. One has to pray for that by very great eagerness to get that. It's always there, but we have to be eager to take it. Otherwise we can have it but not have it. Just like Prabhupada's family members. They so much association, but they had no association with him whatsoever. They never understood him even in the slightest. Some benefit must be there, no doubt. But the actual benefit came from those who were prepared to hear him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to talk about hearing with sevanmuk ears. Make your ears inclined to serve. And then we can hear properly. Association means, first of all, by hearing. So, if we have at least the seed of desire to serve, that also they will give, because that is Bhakti Lata Beej. Anything else?
So as I have a question about the vision maintained by the pure devotee, everything belongs to Krishna and everything must be utilized in Krishna's service. In terms of discriminating between matter and spirit, or in other words, bhakti anukul and bhakti purukul, could you speak about this vision in terms of that conception?
Using the pure devotees see everything as Krishna's. So then what's the question? How does it arise, that which is favorable for Krishna's service? And
in other words, for a pure devotee, is there anything unfavorable?
Is there anything unfavorable? No, there's nothing in the whole world unfavorable for a pure devotee. He sees everything as non-different from Krishna. But for the aspiring devotee, he has to discriminate between that which is pleasing to the Lord and that which is not. That's more a question of attitude. A pure devotee can even engage stool in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada described how to do so. please.
Sometimes in response to this matter, I had a very bad hard experience from Prabhupada's disciple who was in the party also in the assembly. He wanted to accuse me and was himself very wrong. I suggested him, please. I was scared of you. Let me go from this sentence, or at least.
Excuse me, has this got anything to do with this class?
He is a Prabhupada's disciple. Suppose I contradict whatever his command. That time, because he is an authority, then I am accused by other disciples because they are stressed by him. This was my experience.
You see, often people give this kind of complaint, but I can't comment without knowing all the different nuances of the situation. So I will refrain from doing so.
Being a lay person, seems to me from the past that you have talked about the mission, you have talked about the purpose, but I have got wealth. It's number one, how he labors in it. I can recognize that he is a spiritual devotee. Basic, that you can say five basic characteristics of a spiritual devotee.
How can you know who is a spiritual devotee? Well, that will also require one's own sincerity to understand, but basically one can understand who is sincere if it is seen in their behavior that they have no other purpose than to serve Krishna. They're not desirous of anything, either grossly or subtly, in exchange. Now, everyone may say, but we have to see who is actually acting without any desire for personal gain or for name, fame, honor, anything, but just does everything simply for the pleasure of Krishna. It may not be so easy to ascertain. That's the litmus test, but it's not as quick as a litmus test that you just dip the